Well, down through history, changing lives has been his business. He's changed the rich, changed the poor. He's changed the high and the mighty, and he's changed the meek. He changed my life, and maybe he's changed yours. But if he hasn't, it can happen for you right now. Yes, today. Right where you are, and you know something, if you'll let him, that he will make something beautiful of your life. Mighty God, we have been in your presence, holy ground. Thank you for revealing yourself not only in creation, but in the lives of real people all down through history, to this very moment, in this room. Now, as we go back to our regular days, may the impact of this hour remain and make us more effective servants of the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.
And all of God's people did say, amen. Thank you all very much. That was beautiful. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. I'm just realizing now it's probably a bad idea to put these on here this early. How are you all this morning? Good. Now, Joseph had the bag, and it's still at home, but Destiny has another bag. And then next week, Joseph will bring his bag, all right, and we'll be good to go. Does that sound good? All right, thumbs up. All right, let's see what you got here. A little doll. Now tell me about this doll. Who is this? You don't know. All right, fair enough. Huh? It's a porcelain doll. Oh, very nice. And what do you do with a porcelain doll? You admire it. You collect it. All right. How many of you all collect things? Yeah, some of us. When I was a kid, I used to collect basketball cards, and I collected pocket knives. I collected pins, you know, that you put on your and wear that have little sayings on them. I used to collect those types of things. Why do we collect things? We enjoy them, right? We enjoy kind of the different things that we can collect, and with porcelain dolls, there's an infinite number of variations to that, right? And with the pins that I used to collect, there were different things and cartoons and sayings on them and things of that nature. And each of them are different. And we want one that's different, right? And in the same way, each and every one of us are different, aren't we? And God is pleased to create us differently. Well, I'll tell you that later. And we enjoy collecting them. We enjoy the new ones, and we enjoy their differences, but also the similarities. And God's the same way. He enjoys each and every one of us for our differences and for our similarities. And he's created each and every one of us unique. Just like this porcelain doll, you probably don't have another one in your collection like this one, right? And so this one has a special place and has special meaning. For her, and it's the same for us, and it's the same for God. So I want us to remember today that we are special and unique, and God loves us and has created us to be special and unique, okay? All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you that you have created us to be special and unique. Lord, we have many similarities, and Lord, we celebrate those as well as our differences, and thank you that each of us is a representation of you. We pray that you would help us to bring your love and grace to those who do not yet know it, and we thank you this day for each and every child and youth here today. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to Children's Church. We are continuing our stewardship campaign this month. If you'll remember a couple weeks ago, we kind of unveiled our theme of remembering and remembering all of the things that God has done. And today we want to continue that remembering. because it is our memories, it is what we remember of God's goodness in our lives that propel and motivate us to do the things that we have been called to do. Our scripture passage this morning comes from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. And as we continue this theme of remembering, let me make a pretty obvious statement, but maybe one that we need to be reminded of. Remembering assumes not forgetting. Does that make sense? Yeah, everyone's kind of like, yeah, duh, of course. All right, remembering assumes not forgetting. Now, that's easier said than done. How many of us tend to forget? How many of us have forgotten already why our hands are in the air? All right, So today we're gonna think about remembering and not forgetting. And so this passage again for us this morning is Exodus 32, verses 1 through 14. Hear now the word of our Lord. The people saw that Moses was taking a long time to come down from the mountain. They gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come on, make us gods who can lead us. As for this man Moses who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't have a clue what has happened to him." Aaron said to them, "All right, take out the gold rings from the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took out the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He collected them and tied them up in a cloth. Then he made a metal image of a bull calf. And the people declared, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf. Then Aaron made announcement, "Tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord." They got up early the next day and offered up entirely burnt offerings and brought well-being sacrifices. The people sat down to eat and drink and then got up to celebrate. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Hurry up and go down. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, are ruining everything. They've already abandoned the path that I commanded. They have made a metal bull calf for themselves. They've bowed down to it and offered sacrifices to it and declared, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I've been watching these people, and I've seen how stubborn they are. Now leave me alone. Let my fury burn and devour them. Then I'll make a great nation out of you." But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God, "Lord, why does your fury burn against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and amazing force? Why should the Egyptians say he had an evil plan to take the people out and kill them in the mountains and so wipe them off the earth? Calm down your fierce anger. Change your mind about doing terrible things to your own people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, whom you yourself promised, 'I'll make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky, and I've promised to give your descendants this whole land to possess for all time.' Then the Lord changed his mind about the terrible things he said he would do to his people." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day, for your love and grace, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We ask that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. In the passage this morning that we've just read and considered, Moses is on Mount Sinai, and he's been told by God to go up to this place, and all of the people on the bottom have been told not to even touch the mountain or else they would die. This is a holy place of meeting between God and Moses, Israel's intermediary. Now, Moses has been on this mountain at this point some 40 days. And after 40 days, Israel has grown tired of waiting. Israel feels like a people without a leader. They feel like a people who are lost and have no sense of what is next. They also seem to have forgotten commandments 1 and 2. Don't have any other gods before me, and don't make any graven images. These are the very foundations of God's covenant with Israel. The third is close unto it. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. But today, before we're too hard on Israel, before we come down too hard on these people and think, how in the world could they have forgotten so quickly? Let's think back ourselves to how often we've started something only to quit before we reached 40 days. Has anyone here ever made a New Year's resolution? Now we're getting somewhere. 80% of all New Year's resolutions fail by February. Now, according to my calendar, there's 31 days in January. So we have a hard time making it 31 days, let alone 40. They've at least made it 9 days longer than 80% of us. So kudos to them for this. We also need to remember that Israel doesn't have the Ten Commandments written down yet. They've been told by God in chapter 20 what they are, but they haven't gotten them written down yet so that they can memorize. Now, God has told them himself, and he seems pretty upset that they've not listened to him. But let's give them some credit. Because again, it does not appear as if they are seeking to worship other gods. Rather, it appears that they are trying to make God in an image that they can understand. And I would venture to guess that our problem far too often isn't worshiping other gods necessarily, but trying to make God more understandable. And in so doing, limiting and creating images that are not God. And what's so interesting and fascinating to me about this passage is that because of Israel's forgetting, Moses has to tell God to remember. He has to tell God to change. That seems a little strange, doesn't it? I admit that I have a hard time thinking about God in this way, but that's what we have here. In verse 13, Moses tells God, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, whom you promised multiple descendants, and to whom you promised this great land. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, it seems strange to think of God forgetting, doesn't it? It seems odd that Moses would have to tell God this. It seems strange and almost blasphemous to think that God changes his mind, but that's what we're told happens here. That's what Moses tells us in this passage, and it seems odd to us because that's not the God we worship. That's not God as we understand him, and we have to take a step back and think, okay, this God's even bigger than my image of a God who never changes his mind, of a God who needs to be reminded of things. Change is a constant theme throughout Scripture. Remembering is a constant theme throughout Scripture. And if we notice, these two things always seem to go together. Remembering always leads to change. We always need to change once we have remembered what God has done, what God is doing. And if God here needs to remember and needs to change, then we certainly do as well, don't we? What does God do throughout Scripture but constantly provide us with an example of how to live? And whether it makes us uncomfortable or not, we have to remember this morning that we are called to remember and to change because God set the example for us of being reminded and of changing his mind. Unfortunately, like Israel, we forget to wait. Or maybe we don't forget it, we just don't like to wait. And we like to take matters into our own hands. Anyone guilty of that this morning? We will literally construct things to worship if we forget God and remain unchanged. We will literally make these things, or literally put these things in places of honor and power. And money is certainly the chief of these idols that we tend to create. Status would be another. Possessions, people, places, things. We tend to put these in front of God. Now, God is still our Lord, as he is for these people here, but we often want to construct him in ways that make it easy for us to control him. Israel doesn't stop believing in God. In fact, Aaron says, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. Tomorrow there will be a festival to Yahweh. We will offer these great sacrifices and we will do all of these things for Yahweh, but we will do it through this calf that we have constructed. Israel doesn't stop believing in God. They simply want to control him. And how many of us today want to control God? Let's be honest. And so Aaron, hearing these people and in his ignorance and in the obvious issues that precede this, makes a golden bull calf. And he makes it out of the gold, ironically, that God gives to Israel. Now, let's remember back a few weekends before this. God, after the firstborn in Egypt all die, Egypt sends Israel out. And Egypt does not just send Israel out, but they give them things so that they will go away. Israel has effectively defeated Egypt in a battle and now is taking all of this plunder and all of this spoil. And it's being given to them. And so Aaron says, take out the gold rings from the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. What an interesting conversation around the dinner table that must have been. Bring all of these gold rings, all of this proof that God is with us, all of this proof that God has delivered us, all of this proof that God has done what he said he would do. Let's take that and make it into something less than. And so they make this golden calf. And let's be honest this morning, idols are pretty nice because they ask absolutely nothing of us. We can decide, we can determine, we can dictate what this worship is going to look like. Israel rejoices because now there's a golden calf. They don't have to wonder about where it's going to be. It's going to be wherever they put this thing. And Aaron says, let's have a festival. And they're like, that's a great idea. We can decide to have this festival. We can decide how this is going to play out. Idols are nice because we can make all of the decisions. God, however, asks for more than that. He asks for relationship. And how many of us know how difficult relationships can be at every level? There's that sense of give and take, sense of trust, open and honest communication. And that's difficult, and it's hard, and it demands more of us, and we can't necessarily dictate what that's going to look like. There has to be communication around that. And that's what God asks for. That's what God requires and desires above all else. And being in a relationship with God, being in relationship with Jesus Christ, requires remembering. And it requires change. It requires that we remember all that God has done and continues to do for us, and that we change accordingly. This passage, as odd and as awkward as it seems, reminds us that God remembered. And because he remembered, he changed. And now so must we. And now it's our turn. And now it's up to us. He has set the example for us. Whether he actually did these things or whether it was written down so that we would have this example is simply a matter of debate and discussion. But what we know to be true is that we must remember and we must change. And the question becomes how? How in the world do we do this? I think the first thing that will help us to remember and to change is to simply be still and know that God is God. What would it have been like if Israel had decided to be still rather than to be antsy and desirous of doing the next thing? What would our lives be like? How much better would they be if we took time to be still and know that God is God? Not just know it here, but know it here. Spend that time reflecting. What does this mean? We have to be patient and trust that God will not forget us, but that God is waiting for the opportune time to move and work in our lives. He's waiting until we're ready to hear what's next. I think that's the first way to remember and change, is to be still and know that God is God. Of course, we can't forget that we find ourselves in the middle of our pledge drive today and this month, and another opportunity we have to be still and know that God is God, to remember and change, is to think about ways that we can kind of pay that forward, right? To remember what God has done, and then to desire to do that with and for others. And so we have that opportunity to do just that. And this morning, as you can see, all nice and laid out, we have these stewardship forms. I know they're your favorite things every year to see those. And then inside we have these pledge cards. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you have to pledge. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you have to fill this out. What I will sit here and tell you today is that I hope when we get the opportunity that you respond by coming forward and getting this. We are a people of call and response. And so it only seems fitting that in a few moments you will have the opportunity to respond by coming forward, as we do for communion, as we do for baptism, as we do when we celebrate all of the things God has done, and to get one of these. And all I'm going to require is that you pick one up and pray about it. That's it. That's all I'm asking. God will be the one to show you what you need to fill out or not fill out. All right? There's no pressure here. One thing that I've changed in our stewardship form, I've added our committees that we have, our five committees. And so if you feel like you would do well on one of these, check that off. And you know how to do the rest, to check off the areas you would like to serve. I'm going to ask one other thing of you this year. I'm going to ask that as you go through this and as you check off the various areas you would like to serve, that if you see something that you think somebody else here would do really well with, would you write their name down? Legibly? Write their name down. We are a church that encourages. We are a very encouraging church, a very prayerful church. And that is certainly something that we are blessed with and something I don't want us to take for granted. But our nominating committee, our lay leadership team, we always need help. Because like you, we are fallible persons. And if you wrote down a name of somebody that you thought would be good to serve in a specific area, that might give insight to those of us who maybe don't know that about this person. And so I'm going to ask you to do that, and I'm also going to tell you that if you do, I'm going to make sure to let that person know you did that, so they'll have an opportunity to return the favor next year, right? But I want you to take these and to be in prayer about how you feel God is calling you to remember and be changed this year, and how God is calling you to help change the lives of others this year. And so during our closing hymn, I'm going to ask our musician and our leader to come forward. And as we sing our closing hymn this morning, you're going to have the opportunity to come up and to get one of these and to be in prayer, to be thoughtful about how we are going to move forward in 2018. I know and trust that you will take all of this seriously, and I look forward to what God is going to do and how we will be able to remember back and be even more excited this time next year. So let us stand together as we sing our closing hymn that I don't remember the name of.